When I found out that I was going to be talking with Natalie Jacobs of Westport, Connecticut, and the author of a book called Eight, Rediscovering Life After a Brain Tumor, I said, I wonder what she's going to be like. Well, this, my dear friends, is a story of perseverance, courage, and shows the strength that you can find in the darkest of circumstances. While Natalie's journey was long and arduous and is still not over, she shows you and she shows me the hope that inspired her to keep moving forward. And I have the honor of having Natalie with me this morning. The title of the book, Eight, Rediscovering Life and a Brain Tumor. Natalie, good morning, and it's an honor, believe me, an honor to have you on my broadcast.
Good morning, Mr. Davis. Believe me, it's an honor for me to be in your podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, and I got to tell you, I've got your book, and I opened it up. I opened it up when it arrived, and I have it right here with me now. And it says, 18 June, dear Brad, thank you for being with me. And I'll be there on Wednesday. Looking forward to it. I've got this, and I'm taking this home with me. I'm telling you right now, I can't wait.
Thank you.
Now, this whole situation, and you were in good health. What happened at first? How did you know that you had something that you didn't really realize? How did you know?
It was actually fascinating how I found out. And it's not only for me, most of the people that have brain tumors, they find them by coincidence. And they're called coincidental findings. I was skiing and was there with some friends. And I fell, and it hadn't snowed in quite some time, and it was very icy. So I felt quite hard, but I continued skiing because I was with my friends and I was enjoying my vacation. And when I went back home to Miami, at that time I was living in Miami, I basically went to the emergency care, and they took a CT scan, and they said nothing happened with the fall, but you do have something there. You have to actually check it out. So I took an appointment with a neurosurgeon. And I went to the appointment, and he said, you have a brain tumor. And that was quite shocking because I had no side effects. I was in perfect health. So it's very strange when somebody tells you have a brain tumor, yet you feel you're perfect. You know, you have no health issues. So it's quite surprising.
And I understand that the brain tumor, the size of a golf ball, is that correct?
It was the size of a ball, yes. That is correct. And it was located in the left part of my brain, which is basically the part of the brain that manages vision and basically the IQ, or, you know, like our how do you call this? Our IQ, basically.
And when you woke up in the hospital, you know, I was fascinated when I read going over the book, that eight was the only number you could remember. Is that correct?
That is correct. And it was very shocking for me because my neurosurgeon did tell me that I could have a possibility or a probability of a 2% of losing my peripheral eyesight. But he never mentioned my IQ. So when I woke up from the hospital, the only number I could read was 8. And they asked me what year I was born, and I answered in the 1800s. And they asked me, you know, my pain level from 1 to 10, where is it? And obviously my answer was 8. And they make me walk through the corridors of the hospital just to make sure, like, my legs and my arms were okay. And, you know, that every, on the patient's doors is a number, right? So they would ask me, what number is that one? I was like, 8. And then I went to the next one. They're like, what number is that one? I'm like, 8. I saw everything as 8. And I was so dumb at that moment. I found it actually hilarious. My family, on the other hand, obviously, they were absolutely shocked. But I couldn't stop laughing because I thought it was going to be just temporary. So I thought I might as well just enjoy this moment because I found it very, very funny.
Well, I tell you, this was an incredible story and is. And I tell you, just reading part of your book, but you know, I truly believe this with people. There are certain people that can have something happen like you did, and that you have the courage is what it is to overcome it. So when did you actually overcome some of this so that you could be what you were before? How long did it take?
It took years of therapy. So I would read everything as an 8, but in addition, I actually could not read, and I couldn't write, and I did wake up partially blind. So it took me years of therapy to relearn how to read, to relearn how to write, to relearn how to add. I couldn't even add 1 + 1. And basically, the type of therapy you do is a cognitive therapy, and you go to basically speech therapists and neuropsychologists, and they do that type of therapy for you. So I did for years and years, not only going to them, but I also would take the homework home and do it at my own house for hours. That was my full-time job. I had to relearn how to read and write, right? And also, I think I thought it was going to be temporary, so at the beginning, I was pretty happy with this. I was actually enjoying a lot the process. I was so dumb, I couldn't even enjoy TV. I couldn't follow. It was too smart for me, so I would just color like a toddler. I would color for hours, and people would come and visit me. I'd be like, hi, and continue coloring like a two-year-old. But little by little, my IQ sort of started to get a little bit better. I never came back how I was before my surgery. But little by little, that I started to realize the side effects, how strong they were. That was tough. It was a hard reality check to see that therapy wasn't getting me better. And after 2 years of therapy, actually, therapists have to stop treating me because I basically plateaued in my recovery curve. And my IQ and my eyesight just stayed as they were. My new normal, which was below average. And that's when I thought, okay, I need to reinvent myself. I need to find a new reality. I was a workaholic, and I loved to work. But now being disabled and now knowing that I couldn't do the high-level marketing jobs I held before, I had to find a new reality and how to, you know, how to learn how to be happy again in a different way.
And you did.
And I did. And I am now, after years of therapy, I'm a very happy woman. I'm a very happy mom. And I moved to Westwood, which has changed my life entirely. The community here is amazing. The quality of friends I've had, they're basically like family for me. It's a very happy life now. Now I have a purpose, which is in my vision. I'm still working on it. But I obviously want to, with the sales of the book, I want to donate for brain tumor research. In addition, I created a Facebook page, a group of moms who support each other here in Westport, Carl's Westport Stay-at-Home Mom. And I also want to start in Colombia, my home country. I've been also starting Facebook pages for brain tumor survivors and also trying to donate funds to brain tumor research in my country.
Well, I tell you, it's just a story that is incredible, and you wonder in my profession too, with all the people you meet, with all the books that you see, and some you read, some you don't, But you get one like this one, and the attitude that you have and that I have read about you, I can imagine what this is going to do for hundreds and hundreds of other people. Will give them the courage that they need to do what you did or are doing. You are still doing. So when I found out that you were going to be calling me, and you sent the book along with a note, I said, I can't wait to talk to this person. How old are you now?
I am 38 right now, and I was 34 when I discovered the brain tumor.
34, and now you're 38, and now you are, it is a fabulous, fabulous story. But you know, I have a feeling about different people. And my feeling is that there are certain ones that are meant to be certain ones for what they can do for others. And I didn't know that this is what you were going to do, but this is what you are going to do. And you'll be helping so many others that don't have the courage, you know, and don't have the same outlook as you do. And it's a very, very important part of one's life. There's no question about it.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. And also, when I wrote the book, honestly, I wrote it for my daughter, because I knew I was going to, you know, the new person that I'm going to be is going to be a different person than the one I was before. And I wanted to show my daughter when she grows up a little bit, you know, about what her mom used to be before her surgery. And once I finished writing it, I thought it was going to be for brain tumor survivors. But actually, after many people read it, and it's published in Amazon, so you can find the book in Amazon. After many people have read it, people with no brain tumors, I've actually been surprised that it's actually helping people to think about how to reinvent their lives when they have to overcome difficult challenges in life, and not at all about brain tumors. So it's really a book for everyone to read, you know, and to find the strength when you need it.
Well, that's the line. Find the strength when you need it. And that's what you have done. And what the wonderful thing is, and I hope you already know this, that is what you are going to be doing for so many people when they buy this book, and you're giving all of this to folks who are in the same boat, so to speak, that you were. But this is what we need too. We need inspiration. We need someone to care for others, and when we do that, this makes the world a better place to live in. You know what I mean?
I do, and I agree.
Well, again, I thank you so much, and I hope that we can stay in touch, because I want to know.
Actually wanted to invite you to the book launch. It would be an honor to have you and your team, and obviously all the people that are listening to the radio right now. It's going to be on February 8th here in Westport in the Saratok School, in one of the places they sent me there, at 7 p.m. And if you go to my website, which is www.8mymemoir.com, you can find, the audience can find the invitation there to RSVP. And, of course, I'll send it to you, Mr. Davis. It would be an honor to have you there.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you. And this has been quite a day.
Thank you.
And I am just delighted that I had the honor and the privilege to talk with you, and I know everything is going to be all right. So take care of yourself, and we'll talk again.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.